From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Florida's special legislative session kicked off this week, and while lawmakers are focused heavily on health care issues and passing a balanced budget before the new fiscal year begins July 1st, environmental advocates also see opportunities to boost land and water conservation efforts. We'll explore environmental goals and expectations for the special session. Plus, the Mud Lake Complex encompasses a number of wildfires in the Big Cypress National Preserve. Fire crews have been managing for nearly a month now. We'll get an update on those efforts and take a look at the risks and benefits of wildfires in Florida and what residents can do to reduce their risk of dangerous wildfires. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Fire crews in the Big Cypress National Preserve have been managing a number of wildfires that's called the Mud Lake Complex there. They've been burning since May 8th, and these fires have burned more than 35,000 acres so far. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be getting an update on those efforts and an inside look at exactly what's involved in managing these wildfires. We'll also take a broader look at wildfires and wildfire mitigation in Florida, including what steps residents can take to reduce their own risk. Joining me now is Danny Bryant. He's incident commander for the Mud Lake Complex. He's a forest fire management officer with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you, John.
Also joining us by phone is president of the Florida Forest Service, Jim Carls. Jim, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
And thank you, too.
I invite listeners to join the conversation and connect with our guests with your questions. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media or join the live Twitter chat using hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Deputy Incident Commander Bryant, let's begin with you. The first fires that was part of the Mud Lake Complex first started May 8th. Since then, how many separate fires have there been, and how many are there now?
Well, there were a total of 15 separate fires that began around May 8th. The Ellison was the largest fire. Some of those fires, the smaller ones, turned into larger fires, and what we're managing now is a complex of a total of 10 fires.
A total of 10 fires now. Okay. And as far as containment is concerned, how far are we at this point?
We called it 80% contained last night. Depending on today's operations, we may raise that slightly for the report that goes in this evening.
And are these fires believed to have been ignited by lightning strikes, or is there any other potential source that's being looked into?
Right now, we are considering them lightning strike fires.
And roughly how many different people or how many different firefighting agencies are involved in this effort in the Big Cypress National Preserve? I read in the Naples Daily News that firefighters from as far away as California have traveled here to help out with the effort.
Yeah, that's correct. It's just a joint effort between several federal agencies, the Park Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service, Forest Service, BLM, which is Bureau of Land Management, and BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and also the Florida Forest Service. There's actually a crew of firefighters from Puerto Rico that have been on the fire. I believe today or yesterday was their last day on the fire.
Wow. Is it typical to bring together so many different people from different agencies and from, you know, different parts of the country to handle a wildfire situation like this? I mean, I understand you yourself are based out of Jackson, Mississippi.
That's right. The team that I'm connected to on this fire, the GOAL team, is based all over the southern region of the United States, from Texas up to Virginia, down to Florida. But, yeah, we reach out way beyond the regional boundaries to bring in resources, to bring in help to battle these fires.
And have the Mud Lake Complex fires threatened people, homes, or other physical structures? It seems like they're in a pretty densely wooded area.
They are. The preserve is pretty remote, but there are numerous camps, hunting camps, weekend-type residences, all throughout the preserve in fire area, very close to it, as well as Interstate 75. Right. That was one of the things that triggered bringing in a incident management team, having fires north and south of Interstate 75 and the potential impact to traffic on that interstate due to smoke and firefighting efforts.
You know, I came back to this coast across the Alligator Alley just this past weekend, and I didn't experience anything personally, but has there been intermittent visibility issues for motorists on portions of I-75 due to the Mud Lake Complex?
I understand that the interstate was never actually closed, but there were times early on before my team arrived that smoke impacted the interstate pretty heavily. And then on June 1st, when we had a couple of new fires that began outside of the Mud Lake Complex, but both on the preserve, one of them was just north of I-75. And the smoke never became a serious issue on that, but it was very, very noticeable to traffic traveling I-75.
Well, let's talk about, you know, some of the techniques that are being employed and really getting a handle on these fires. Is this primarily being managed from the ground, or are there also aerial crews involved in this effort? Tell us about it.
Just due to the remote location of most of the fires, they're started by lightning way out in the preserve. Traffic to the fires is pretty limited. In fact, most of it on the ground would be by swamp buggy or UTV, ATV, equipment like that. So primarily the fires are being they're being sized up and fought from the air using a combination of helicopters, single-engine air tankers, as well as earlier on there was a large air tanker that was involved in battling these fires.
All right. And as you've been with us here in Southwest Florida working on the Mud Lake Complex, have weather and wind conditions been a help or a hindrance? Because I would imagine rainfall could be a benefit, but at the same time, thunderstorms only increase the potential for more lightning strikes.
Exactly. Yeah. Initially, you know, the gusty winds and dry conditions that really contributed to the growth of those fires and kind of got them in the shape they were in. Since my team has arrived on the fire, the weather has moderated somewhat, and we went through a spell there without a lot of growth on the fires that we were managing. But then, like you mentioned, the thunderstorms moved in several days ago, and we got a lot of lightning strikes. And even though some rain came along with those storms, as dry as it is out there, it didn't impact the fires a whole lot. But over the days, you know, that we've gotten steady rain constantly for about 3 days now, I believe that has helped moderate conditions.
All
we're
right.
Still, you know, potentially going to find some new starts out there from the lightning. When it strikes a suitable fuel, you know, it may just kind of smolder and hold over for a while until conditions get a little drier, a little windier, and then they pop up and we start seeing them.
All right. And as you had mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, the latest update shows us with the Mud Lake fires about 80% contained. As you get more and more control over that, do the techniques that you use change somewhat? I mean, at some point, do you just sort of try to create a barrier and let whatever's left just sort of burn itself out? Or how does that work?
Most of the fires that we're managing, they're managed to provide the benefit that fire provides here in this ecosystem. So if there's areas that can be allowed to burn freely, as long as we have contingency lines in place where we can stop the fire before it begins to impact any improvements or any critical wildlife habitat that's out there, things like that, then those are the areas that we put special emphasis on. There's been a lot of work done, and you may have seen some of the video on the TV news about work that's been done around the improvements, around the residences and camps within the fire area. So, you know, that's one of our main goals is to provide protection for those areas.
Right, right. Well, as fire crews continue battling the Mud Lake Complex fires on the Big Cypress National Preserve, we're getting an update on those efforts and taking a broader look at wildfires and wildfire mitigation. We're speaking with Danny Bryant, the Deputy Incident Commander for the Mud Lake Complex, along with President of the Florida Forest Service, Jim Carls. You can connect with our guests and join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or follow the conversation on Twitter using hashtag GulfCoastLive. Jim, I wanted to bring you into the conversation now and maybe kind of touch on something that we had just heard Danny talk about in terms of, you know, kind of letting a fire burn and letting the natural benefits that it provides take effect. That might kind of sound counterintuitive to some people, but wildfires are actually a natural part of our ecological cycle here. Can you maybe tell us more about that and what the benefits are?
Fire, you know, Florida has evolved under fire. And it, top to bottom, Pensacola to the Keys, fire has shaped the environment and the ecosystem of Florida long before we came here. Now, we have 19 million people here now. So in the vast majority of the cases, just letting the wildfire burn, other than a very few remote places like Danny talked about, is not the norm. Most of the time, it's a pretty strong suppression effort because the vast majority of our fires have urban interface, houses, and people involved. But what we do in Florida, very different, is we bring back fire with prescribed fire. We're the number one state in the nation for prescribed fire. We burn more than any state in the nation in acres, and we're having a very good year. And that mimics, that puts that fire on the ground in a very controlled fashion, both from the fire and the smoke management. And it ensures that our citizens are safe and we are still having and keeping that ecosystem that Florida developed under.
And how do Florida Forest Service staff working around the state determine, you know, when a prescribed burn is necessary for a particular area?
It varies, and it's by landowner. The Florida Forest Service does a very large amount of burning, and we administer what we call the open burning program. So we give the authorizations, but it's done by many different public agencies and in many different private individuals. A very good training program goes out to the people to burn that kind of gives them that expertise to know when to burn, to know how to safely burn, to know the impacts and how to manage their smoke and their fire. And what we do from our authorization end is check it. We actually model the projected smoke ahead of time and the conditions. If it's bad fire danger, we're not issuing authorizations. If it's a very poor smoke, what we call dispersion, meaning that the smoke isn't rising up and going away, chances are the authorizations are limited. So we look at all of that to safeguard the citizens and to protect a very effective program that mimics wildfire across the state.
All right. And is aerial ignition usually the prescribed burn method of choice?
No, probably the majority is ground ignition. Aerial ignition, very effective on large tracts of land.
Okay.
Where you're looking at many more acres. I'll give you an example of Florida Forest Service on our state forest system. You know, this year we set a record. We burned, up through this month with 1 month left in the year, in the fiscal year, we burned 218,000 acres. That's more than we've ever burned in the history of the state, and the record books are looking at that might be more than any one agency has ever burned in any one state in the country.
Wow.
So it's pretty neat stuff, learning to be very effective and using both aerial and ground ignition, aerial ignition for the big burn blocks, ground ignition for the smaller ones.
Well, and Jim, I've read that even the Colusa Indians who were, you know, down in South Florida, they utilize controlled burns as a way to manage the land. So this is not entirely a new concept.
That's right, exactly. And Florida kind of leads the nation in both the prescribed fire laws and the implementation. And it's a really a very strong cooperative effort. And then when you think about it, you know, back when they were burning, there was only a few people in the state. And now, you know, you have the potential to impact a lot with smoke and fire, and you have to, it's a very elevated science that they use to make sure that we manage the smoke and we're protective of both the citizens and the environment.
And what about when you can't do a prescribed burn, you know, in areas too close to homes or whatnot? What other mitigation efforts can you undertake to reduce the risk of a dangerous wildfire occurring, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. We have what we call wildfire mitigation teams spread across the state. They've been in place for about 15 years now. And what they do is they do a mix. Sometimes they'll do prescribed fire. Other times they're mowing with heavy-duty mowers, at unit where it's adjacent to, very close to homes, or they might be roller chopping. They might be working with the citizens, and together they create what we call a defensible space. And that's enough space that the firefighters, when a fire does occur, can get in there and protect your home. So we go into the high-risk areas all over the state, and we do these mitigation efforts every day of the year with the hope that, you know, we protect those homes whenever the risk elevates and the fire comes at the urban interface.
Is there a, you know, kind of a public information element to it as well, actually getting out there, talking to, you know, homeowners about, you know, what they can do on their own properties, especially if they have a lot of, you know, maybe old, dead plant life hanging around that just needs to be cleared out, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. And we have people that work with the homeowner associations. We have FireWise Communities. It's a national program that we use that gets the entire communities involved to make their community fire safe. And Florida is one of the leading ones in the nation with the number of FireWise Communities. And it's a continual education process, both on the fire threat, the fire mitigation, and the prescribed burning. And you drive up and down the state, you're going to see billboards that talk about either mitigation or the value of prescribed fire or the potential dangers of wildfire and who to call or where to Google to find information.
And now, I haven't seen anything this year, but in past years, I've noticed that on my smartphone, I'll get notification updates from a weather application telling me about days when conditions are ripe for wildfire activity. Do you think more people using, you know, technology in that kind of a way can increase awareness and cooperation from the public in regards to reducing risk?
Yeah, this year, and the Mud Lake is a kind of an isolated area that was a dry pocket overall. It's been a below average year up to this point. Now, in the last 2 weeks, we've ran quite a few fires, especially in the central part of the state, but not big fires. Fires that we've been able to handle in that afternoon process. And so, you know, it's been quieter mostly because the threat hasn't been extremely high in many parts of the state. And as we move into thunderstorm activity now, we get the lightning, but then we do get a patchwork of each day we get a little bit of rain somewhere, and it most of the time it continues. If the weather cooperates, it will get better and better.
All right. And, you know, anybody who's lived here long enough has probably heard the joking saying that we don't have the typical seasons here, but instead we have tourist season and hurricane season and wildfire season. But is that something of a misnomer? We tend to focus on the risk for wildfires maybe at one specific time of year. But are wildfires really a year-round event?
Florida is unique in that. It's a 12-month season. The first, I would say, January to June tends to be the peak of our season, of those 12 months. But you can, in Florida, you can pretty much say if you've gone 2 weeks without rain, you have the potential for wildfire. It's just that nature. It never really ever goes away. And it all depends on Mother Nature and what she gives us for rain.
Right. What about, you know, like long-term meteorological forecasts in terms of, you know, trying to measure wildfire risk? Is that something that you look at? And by that, I mean, I've heard that, you know, in the past that there's a strong correlation between El Nino and La Nina weather patterns and wildfire activity.
There is. We tend to have our peak wildfire years during La Nina events. Same, kind of interesting, the same thing with hurricanes. They tend to have many times the worst hurricanes during La Nina events. We're in a in what's kind of a weak El Nino right now, meaning for us that tends to be a little more rain, cooler than average because of more cloud cover and most of the time less chance of wildfires. Now, microclimates can change stuff very quickly, but we're in what we call a weak El Nino right now, which is kind of forecasting at least for the next 3 to 6 months, relatively low fire activity.
All right, all right. And we did get a question via email from Joe in Fort Myers. He writes to us, do either of your guests have an opinion on this question? Aside from I-75, should we be risking the lives of firefighters to protect vacation spots and hunting camps as opposed to homes and businesses? Danny, did you want to add anything?
Well, I can answer from a statewide perspective, and then I'll let Danny answer from Mud Lake. From a statewide perspective, from the Florida Forest Service, we have jurisdiction 26 million acres. And in Florida, you know, if that fire starts in a remote area, it doesn't take much to come out of that remote area and come right into the homes and business or impact the highways and the cities of Florida. So we're going to go after it and try to keep it at the lowest impact. And not let those fires get large, especially in those areas where it has potential to burn homes. Mm-hmm. So we do it in a very safe manner. We emphasize safety of the firefighters every day of the year. But at the same time, knowing that that we've got to suppress it, otherwise it will impact someone's home or business or the potential to put smoke on the highway and have an impact to the citizens in most anywhere, any part of the state.
All right, and we are just about out of time, but Danny Bryant, did you want to add anything to what Jim has just mentioned regarding our listener's question?
No, I would just echo that our number one priority, the objectives given to us by the Big Cypress and pretty much any time we go in on wildfires, is to ensure that firefighter and public safety are at the top of our list of concerns, and that's the way that we manage the situation.
All right. Well, we are going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much to my guests, Danny Bryant and Jim Carls. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Danny Bryant is Deputy Incident Commander for the Mud Lake Complex. He's a Forest Fire Management Officer with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service. He's based out of Jacksonville, Mississippi. And Jim Carls is President of the Florida Forest Service. There's more information on the show, as well as an archive of past shows at our website, wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. To comment on anything you've heard on this or any edition of the program, send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Thanks to my producers, Luke Martin and Richard Chinqui. This is WGCU, Fort Myers, 90.1 FM, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.